The Sanctuary, God Show and Tell. Number 20, The Sabbath Day of Rest.
Now you'll remember in our last study, we looked at the first of the two things God required of His people on the Day of Atonement. And the first requirement was afflicting the soul, which is a Hebrew expression, which is correctly translated in the NIV as denying self. And you remember in our study, this requirement must be understood in the context of the everlasting gospel. Every other denial, whether it's, you know, food or clothing or anything, has to be a result of this main denial. And we saw that this denial, in the light of the gospel, is applying to oneself, to that is to the Christian, the negative part of the formula of justification by faith. Because that's the gospel applied. The gospel applied is justification by what? Faith. When we apply that, the formula is not I, but who? And the not I is afflicting what? Soul. Okay, putting it positively, the only way Christ can vindicate us in the investigative judgment against the accusations of Satan, you know, which of course is His high priestly ministry on the Day of Atonement. And the only way we in turn, and we're going to cover this in more detail later on, can vindicate the power of the gospel is when we totally depend on Christ and His righteousness for our salvation. We must not add any of our own self-righteousness. It's 100% whose? Christ. And when I say Christ's righteousness, I mean what He obtained 2,000 years ago. Okay? We read a text, and I want to read it again as a review of what we covered last Wednesday. Philippians 3, verse 7 to 9. Here is what denial self involves. Now, we're talking about a man who was tremendously successful in self-righteousness, in terms of self-righteousness. He was tremendously successful. And the success is described in verses 4 to 6, which you can read sometime. What I want you to see is what he gave up in exchange for Christ's righteousness. Look at verse 7 to 9 in Philippians chapter 3. But whatever was to my profit... And this is referring to his self-righteousness. He was blameless, in terms of the law and so on. I now consider loss for the sake of who? Christ. Please notice the not I, but who? Christ, in the context of righteousness by faith. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Please notice how much? Everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake? I have lost all things. I consider them what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in whom? In Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that is from keeping the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You see, the gospel is the righteousness of God. And if you want a couple of texts that clearly says that, is Romans 1 verse 17 and Romans 3 verse 21. In Romans 1 17, Paul is introducing the theme of his epistle. In verse 15 and 16, he says, I am now ready to preach the gospel to those of you who are in where? In Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto what? And then he adds, therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of what? God. And then chapter 3 of Romans and verse 21, where he begins to expound the gospel, he says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from our law keeping, has been manifested. So by the righteousness of God, Paul means the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Okay? And we have to give up our righteousness for what God obtained. Okay, now, I mention about being vindicating the gospel power. You see, the issue that the last generation of believers will have to face in the time of trouble, which precedes the second coming, is can God produce a people who have the faith of Jesus Christ, as was demonstrated on the cross when Christ felt forsaken of God. Because that is how, and by the way, we have a study on that, you know, the issues of the time of trouble. Now, Jesus was aware how terrible the issue will be, and so he gave a parable in Luke chapter 18. I think we need to look at it. The parable is found in Luke 18, so please turn to Luke 18. And you will discover, in Luke 18, you will discover why he told the parable in verse 1. The parable is from chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. All I want to read is the introduction and the conclusion. You can read at home the parable. It's about the persistent widow. The parable of the persistent widow. Okay? Look at verse 1 of chapter 18 of Luke. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not what?
Give up.
Give up what? Their faith in who? Correct. And then he gave this parable. Now look at the application, verse 8. I tell you, he that is the judge here will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, when he will give us the justice as believers, will he find what?
Faith
on earth. You know, and in Revelation 6 verse 17, John raises a question in the light of the second coming of Christ. Who will be able to what? Stand. Can God produce a people? Because see, the gospel has to be vindicated also by the last generation of Christians. So the time of trouble, or the great tribulation, which is what is referred to in theology, and which has not been experienced by any other generation of Christians, of believers, previously, is part and parcel of bringing the great controversy to an end. In other words, the power of the gospel to deliver us totally from the principle of self, which is the principle of sin, has to be vindicated before the eradication of sin. Can God produce a people, not just one or two, who are willing to give up even heaven in terms of their loyalty to who? Christ. You see, when Adam sinned, he did not choose self in a sense, because he knew that was the forbidden fruit. He knew that by eating it, he could not save Eve. The choice he had to make is between God, who he loved, and Eve, whom he loved. That was the choice he had to make. And he chose Eve before who? God. The choice we have to make in the time of trouble is between God and us. See, Adam was willing to say goodbye to life forever out of his love for who? Eve. His sin was choosing Eve instead of who? God. Our temptation will be between God and what? Us. Are we willing to say goodbye to life forever that we may uphold the name of who? God. That is the issue in the time of trouble. And we'll go to in that in more detail, not in the next study, but I think the study after next. What I want to do this evening is to look at the second requirement of the Day of Atonement. The first requirement is afflicting the soul or denying self. The second requirement is that on that day, God's people were not allowed to do any work. It was a Sabbath day of what? Rest. We read the passage. I would like, as a reminder, to read it again, because I want you to see the seriousness of that those two requirements. Leviticus 23 will be a good reminder. We'll read verse 29 to 32. Leviticus 23, verse 29 to 32. And please notice how strong Moses comes across regarding these requirements. And he's speaking in the name of God. Okay, verse 29. Anyone who does not deny himself or afflict the soul on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. Now that's Hebrew way of saying the same thing twice. regarding the two requirements. If you don't deny yourself, he will cut you off from the kingdom of heaven, from the people who will take to heaven. If you do any work on that day, the same thing. Yeah. Now please don't go home and say, now I don't have to do any work, since we are living in the anti-typical day of atonement. You see, we have sometimes done the same mistake as the Jews. We say that unless we deny ourselves of certain foods and certain things, we'll be cut off. No, no, this has nothing to do with food. The denying of self is to do with our self what? Righteousness. And denying certain things can be part of our self what? Righteousness. Okay, verse 31. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Now, please, the lasting ordinance means on the Day of Atonement, this rule doesn't change. Type or anti-type. Wherever you live, that includes Washington, D.C., it is a Sabbath of rest for you, and you must deny yourselves. And then from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your what? Sabbath. Now please remember, the Day of Atonement was only one day in the type. In reality, it's a period of what? Time. Now, once again, just like the denying of self, the Jews missed the whole point and significance of resting on this solemn day from all work. But I would like you to turn to the writer of Hebrews, who is writing to the Jews of the New Testament times, where he gives us the true meaning of the Sabbath rest. And then we will analyze that. Okay? So turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now it's very interesting. Hebrews chapter 4 is using the experience of the Jews of the Exodus and using that as a counsel, don't do the same mistake as our fathers in the Exodus. Okay, where the sanctuary service was given. Look at verse 2 of Hebrews 4. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Now they refers to the Jews of what? The Exodus. The only difference is that the Exodus Jews received the gospel through the sanctuary service, and the Jews of the New Testament time received the gospel by the preaching of Christ, the reality. But now look at the next thing. But the message they heard, that is the Exodus Jews, was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with what?
Faith.
With faith. And faith is saying what? Not I, but who? Okay. Did not. Now verse 3. Now we who have believed enter what? That's right. Just as God has said. You know. So I declare on oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. In other words, if you don't rest in my salvation, you will not receive the blessing of that salvation, which is God's rest. Okay. Now go on. Same chapter. Look at verse 9 and 10. Now remember, this is being addressed to the Jews, not to Gentiles, to the Jews. They were believers. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians. Now look at verse 9. And I'm reading from the NIV. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of what? Now the phrase people of God is not referring to the Christian church, but the Jewish nation. Okay? The context tells us clearly. He's talking about the people of God here. And now verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his what? Own work, just as God did from his. In other words, what the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, is saying is, if you are resting in God for your salvation, you will stop trying to work your own way to where? Heaven. Because the salvation that you receive from Christ is perfect, is complete. You don't have to add to it. You can't improve on it. So as the King James says, there's still, by the way, keeping of the Sabbath, the Greek is sabbatismos, means the keeping of the Sabbath. The Jews thought by keeping the day, they could make it to where? what Paul is saying here is those who are resting on the Lord of the day, of which the day is a sign. Okay, the day is a sign, and we'll come to that in a moment. Okay, now, having said this, let's analyze the significance of the Sabbath and why it is so important that we understand it as a requirement for the Day of Atonement. See, the good news of the gospel that Jesus came to bring to the human race is described in the New Testament sometimes by the word rest. And you had one example in Hebrews. The other example is in Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said to the Jewish people, "Come all ye that labor," and he's not talking about, you know, farming or working, you know, your daily survival work. He's talking about working your way to where? Heaven. "Come all of you who are laboring, trying to go to where? Heaven, and have a heavy laden," which means you have no peace, "and I will give you what? Rest." So Jesus came to give us rest, you know. Therefore, when we look at the Sabbath, it is more than a day of physical or mental rest. So please don't say on Friday night, "Oh, am I glad the Sabbath is here. This week has been so hectic. Now I can have lay activity." By the way, the Sabbath was the busiest day for the Levites. And it is a busy day for Adventist pastors. So the denomination, which I don't normally practice, allows pastors to have Monday off. Do you know that? Pastors can have Monday off because you folks have Saturday off and Sunday off. And the pastor's Saturday is a working day. But do you know, in the Old Testament, God never gave an extra day for the Levites. He never gave an extra day. Anyway, so please, the Sabbath has, yes, thank God, we can recuperate from our physical and mental exhaustion. But that is not the primary purpose God gave the Sabbath. He gave the Sabbath because it has a redemptive significance. And therefore, the Sabbath is a vital part of the gospel message of righteousness by what? Faith. The fact that we don't work on the Sabbath doesn't have any merits. It is to remind us that it is not our works, but the works of Christ. It's a reminder, just like the Lord's Supper is a reminder. So every week we are reminded. It points to Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, as our only hope of what? Salvation. It is in this context the Sabbath rest required by God's people on the Day of Atonement must be understood as the seal of God. You see, God's people have to reach a point where their faith in Christ is unshakable. The outward sign of that sealed faith is Sabbath what? Yes, and we will see that in a moment, you know. In contrast or in opposition to salvation by works represented by the world's day of rest, which is of course Sunday, the mark of the what? You see, the 2 days represent the two systems of salvation. Salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ, the Sabbath is the seal, and salvation by human works, you know, of which Sunday is the mark of what? Who is simply an agent of the devil. Okay, now with this introduction, let me now quickly go and explain to you the relationship of the Sabbath day of rest to the gospel. Okay? Now, I will give you many texts. We will not be able to read all of them. You can, you know, read them at home, because it's all in the, you know, in this handout, and it will be on the tape too. Okay, number one, I'm going to go down the line. Number one, we must first of all look at the Sabbath not as our day of rest, but as God's day of rest. The Sabbath is not our day of rest. It is what? God's day of rest. So while the Bible does teach that the Sabbath was made for men, you know, Mark 2:27. By the way, it's very interesting. Jesus never said the Sabbath is made for the Jews. He used a generic term, anthropos, made for men. Because when the Sabbath was made, there was no Jew. When was the Sabbath made? at creation. There was no Jew. Okay? Yes, he did restore it to the Jews. But it wasn't made at the Exodus time. That's why he said, remember. Well, you know, if you remember something that has existed what? Before. Okay. Now, I want to give you three texts which clearly point out that the Sabbath belongs to God. Exodus 20 verse 10. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Then Exodus 31 verse 13, where God's speaking to Moses and gives him instruction to tell to the Israelites, and he says, my Sabbath you shall what? Keep. So he refers to the Sabbath as what? My Sabbath. And then Isaiah 58 verse 13, where God calls the Sabbath my holy day, the holy of the Lord. So that's number one, okay? The Sabbath belongs to God. Number two, God created this world in how many days? 6 days. And rested on the seventh day. Because the word Sabbath means rest. Okay? So when he says it's my Sabbath, it means the day he what? Rested. And when did he rest? On the seventh day. Now, in this creation, man was created on which day? Sixth day. And therefore, God's Sabbath was not man's seventh day. It was God's seventh day. So when the Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, it's using the word seventh day in the light of God, not in the light of us. Because we did not exist on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. We were created in Adam on which day? Sixth day. At the end of the sixth day. So what was the first whole day Adam and Eve spent on this earth? But it wasn't their seventh day. Okay? It was their what? First day. So please, and by the way, Genesis 1, 26 and Genesis 2, verse 3 tells us that of these facts, you know, that when man was created and when God rested. Hence, we must keep in mind, and this is extremely important, that when we talk of the Sabbath as being the seventh day, we must make it clear. It is not the seventh day of the Jews. It is not the seventh day of Adventists. It is God's seventh day that we rest. And the reason we rest on God's seventh day is, I will explain in a moment. But what you need to keep in mind is the pattern. Is the pattern. What did Adam and Eve do on God's seventh day, his Sabbath? Did they work? No. They rested. Now God worked and he rested. Adam and Eve did not begin by what? Working. They began by resting on God's Sabbath, and then they worked 6 days. So the pattern, when we look at the Sabbath from God's point of view and from man's point of view, are opposites. In God's point of view, God worked first and he rested. From man's point of view, we rest and then we what? Work. Keep that in mind, especially when we come to the gospel, because that is crucial. Okay, now by the way, if somebody argues with you, how do you know that Saturday is the seventh day? Okay, that's one of the arguments. Please don't go to the calendar. The calendar is not inspired. Okay, you must defend your position from the word of God alone. Every position. Now, if you can get hold of the Today's English Version, the Good News Bible, okay? If you can get the New Testament, there is a text that clears this up completely. And it's Luke chapter 23, verse 54 to 56. Luke 23, verse 54 to 56. Where it, instead of using the word preparation day, it says Friday. And then it says Sabbath. And then it says Sunday. So, Sabbath is between Friday and Sunday. Well, which day comes between Friday and Sunday? Okay? So, it's very clear there. Okay. Number three, the reason God rested on the Sabbath, his seventh day, was not because he was tired. It was not because he wanted a break. There are two reasons given in the New, in the Old Testament why he rested. One is found in Genesis 1 verse 31. Genesis 1 verse 31, where he says, what he created was perfect, was good, very good. And Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3, everything that he created was perfect, but it was also finished. The heavens and the earth were what? Finished. By the way, the text in Luke is Luke 23 verse 54 to 56, okay? In the today's English, you can use your other translations because it's except that it doesn't use the day Friday, you know. And by the way, New Testament scholars, I'm talking of Sunday keeping scholars, all admit that the Sabbath is the Saturday. Okay, but you will meet individuals who will say, "How do you know?" You know, we don't have records of history from creation. Well, it's very simple, folks. Jesus kept the Sabbath. Okay? They have to admit that. There are texts. He kept the Sabbath. The disciples kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. So if their day was wrong, because we have records from the time of Christ, we may not have records from the time of creation. If the Jews were wrong on the day, Christ would have done what? Corrected it. Okay? So that is clear. Okay, anyway, the reason why God kept the Sabbath was because his work was perfect and because it was finished. Genesis 1, 31, Genesis 2, 1 to 3, and also Hebrews 4, verse 4. He finished all his work and rested on the seventh day. Now, the next point that you need to be clear, and I'll give you the text, we won't have time to read it, is that both creation and redemption was performed by the same individual, Jesus Christ. Christ is the creator and he is also the redeemer. Creator, let me give you some text. John 1, 3, by him all things were created. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 16. And Revelation 3, verse 14. And there it says, when it says the beginning of creation, the Greek word is the source of creation. Okay, so Christ is what? The creator. In other words, he is the one that spoke and it happened. That's why he's calling John the word of what? God. He's the word of God. He's the one that spoke. Yes, all three members were involved, but he was the actual one that did the creating. Now with redemption, oh, I don't have to give you the text. Everyone believes in that. But I have a whole list of texts. Let me just give you one. Romans 3:24. I can't escape Romans. Okay? Also Galatians 3:13, he redeemed from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. But you know, there is 1 Corinthians 1:30, there is Colossians 1:14, there is Titus 2:14, Hebrews 9:12, 1 Peter 1:18. There's a whole piece of, you can get it later on from me. Now, what I want you to take note is not only who is the creator and the redeemer, but what I want to take note is that both creation and redemption were finished on the sixth day. At the end of the sixth day, Jesus said, everything that I have done is what? Finished. On the cross, which is the end of the sixth day, he also cried, it is what? Finished. Everything that was promised in the Old Testament concerning his earthly mission, because in the Old Testament you have more than his earthly mission promised. You have the second coming and the third coming, all promised in the Old Testament. But as far as his first coming, the redemption, everything was fulfilled by the time he cried, it is what? Finished. In terms of our redemption. That is why Jesus can claim, I am the Lord of what? The Sabbath. Mark 2:28 and Luke 6 verse 5. Twice in the New Testament, he calls himself the Son of Man, referring to himself as also the Lord of the what? Sabbath. Which means it is my day. Why? Not only for creation. No, so we emphasize creation. But also for what? Redemption. He is our creator. But more than that, he is our what? Redeemer. Because creation was ruined by the fall. Okay, now that is the Sabbath from God's point of view. Now let's go quickly to the Sabbath from man's point of view. Okay? The Sabbath, says Jesus, was made for who? For man. Okay, having created this perfect and finished world, Jesus gave mankind dominion over the what? Creation. That is why you must make a distinction between chapter 1 of creation of Genesis and chapter 2 of Genesis. Chapter 1 of Genesis is dealing with the sequence of creation. Okay? So Adam and Eve were the last thing that took place in creation. Chapter 2 discusses not the sequence of creation but the preeminence of man. So Adam and Eve are placed as number 1 because they were given dominion. There are some of our scholars now who are beginning to teach that because of this discrepancy, there is discrepancy, there's error in scripture. No, they're both talking about two different things. One is talking about the sequence of creation, the other one is talking about the preeminence of man. For example, Psalms 8, verse 4 to 8. What is man? That thou has given him dominion, you know. And Genesis 1, 26 and 28 says, let us make man and let him have what? Dominion over all that we created. Hebrews 2 verse 6 to 8 is kind of a repetition of Psalms. Now, even though Adam and Eve were given dominion of this world, and this is important, they made no contribution towards creation. That is why when they opened their eyes, the last thing Adam saw when Adam opened his eyes, he saw a perfect and finished what? Look, except he had no partner. And then when God put him to sleep, still on the sixth day, and created Eve, he says, wow, this is it. You should read the Living Bible. This is it. You know, now it's finished. Until he fell, then he blamed her, you know. Okay, so please remember that Adam and Eve made no contribution towards creation. Whether it's vegetation or whether it's the animals, anything. Even the Garden of Eden was planted by who? By God. All they did was simply enjoy it. God never intended man to work in the sense that we work today, sweat of the brow. To us, work was pleasure. It's like those who play football, you know, to them it's also money for the professionals. Okay, number two, regarding the second, the Sabbath for men. The Sabbath, therefore, was set aside or sanctified. That's what the word sanctified means, by God, for men. Mark 2:26. In other words, what God was saying is, look, Adam and Eve, I have created this world for you. I have given dominion to you for all that is created. The vegetation, the animals, everything is yours. The only thing that you must be totally dependent on who? On me. You must not live independent of who? Me. And therefore, the Sabbath was set aside to remind him that the source of his creation, the source of all that he has dominion over, did not come from him, but from who? From God. It was a covenant. That's why the Sabbath was made for man. It was a covenant. So, when we look at the Sabbath from this point of view, there are three things that you need to keep note of. Number one, this Sabbath covenant was made before the fall. It wasn't an afterthought. It was made before what? The fall. This would imply that if sin did not enter in, we would be keeping which day today? The Sabbath. Because it was a permanent significance that man has to be totally God dependent. Okay, number two, the fall of Adam was really, he was turning his back to who? God. Which means that he no longer was God dependent. And that is why God said to him after the fall, from now onwards you will eat your bread by the sweat of what? Which simply means the significance of the Sabbath was gone. Before that, God never said, you must work for your living. He said, I will supply what? All your need. And by the way, Christ did the same thing to his disciples. He said, when you accept me, you are returning to the position of total God dependence. So in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, stop worrying about what you shall eat, what you shall dress, whether about a roof on your head. Look at the birds. God takes care of what? Of them. Aren't you worthy more than those birds? So please remember, a Christian who's keeping the Sabbath doesn't mean that he's not working on the Sabbath so that he can have a rest from his physical exhaustion, you know. That's Sunday for that, you know. You are resting in Christ, which means you are not only depending on his righteousness for your salvation, you are depending on him to take care of what? You. Now, does it mean that you won't face hardships, difficulties? Yes. But you must be able to say, like those three men, or the two men, or the three men who were cast in the burning fire. Remember what they said to Nebuchadnezzar? Our God is able to protect us from what? But if he decides not to, we will not give up our loyalty to what? Him. So there are times when God will allow you, your faith, to be tested. Okay, you may lose a job, or you may have nothing in the pantry, you know. But please remember, he is quite capable of taking what? Care of you. So after the fall, the Sabbath had a redemptive significance. What do I mean by that? Okay, when Adam sinned, God had two choices. Either to destroy Adam, because he said to Adam, the day you sin, you shall what? Surely die. Or redeem Adam, which meant that he would take the punishment of our sin. And he chose what? The second. So he, in view of the fact he chose to redeem us, he also chose to restore what? The Sabbath truth. The significance, at least. And that's why Hebrews 4, 2-3 brings this out. Now, there is another text, and I will bring it up. I will read it, not now, but I'll give it to you now. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Where God was telling the Jews that the Sabbath has a redemptive significance. Okay, now, number 3, regarding this same thing. Both the fourth commandment, which is Exodus 10, verse 8-11, as well as the Christ statement in Mark 22, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for men, indicates that the Sabbath rest was instituted at creation, Genesis 2, verse 3. You see, there are many Sunday-keeping scholars who say the word Sabbath does not appear in Genesis. And they are right. The word doesn't. All it says is that the seventh day was set aside as God's day of rest. But the word itself, Sabbath, does not appear in Genesis. Okay, in the Hebrew language. But the truth of that Sabbath is there. But when Christ said the Sabbath was made for men, he is referring to when? Creation. And when God gave the Ten Commandments to the Jews, he points to creation as the beginning of what? The Sabbath. And God rested on the seventh day and hallowed it. And that is why he said, remember the Sabbath day, not to do any what? Work. So both the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, and the statement Christ made points to the Sabbath as being instituted at creation. Not to the Jews at the Exodus. What he did to the Jews is he restored it, not introduce it. Okay, now I want to go to the next point. When Adam and Eve sinned, and I mentioned this, they turned their backs to God. Okay, they moved from God dependence to what? Self dependence. And by the way, that statement, by the sweat of your brow, is Genesis 3, verse 19. Therefore they broke the Sabbath covenant when they sinned, whatever day it was, making it null and void, since sin is turning from God dependence to self dependence. And a good text is Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have all turned to what? Our own way. Also Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your sins have separated you from who? From me. Okay, now, in order to restore the Sabbath rest for mankind, God sent his Son to redeem us. So Jesus came to work. The same Jesus who created us, perfect creation, now comes to work out our what? Salvation. He came to work. Exodus 33 verse 14, Isaiah 14 verse 3, Matthew 11 verse 28, which I read for you, John 3 verse 17, God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Okay? Galatians 4 verse 4 and 5, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. from under the law. Okay, so Christ came to work out our salvation. And on the cross, Jesus said what? It is finished. Our redemption was perfect and complete. So Colossians 2 verse 10 says, we are complete in hope in Christ. So the good news of the gospel, therefore, is that the Sabbath rest has been restored by Christ's earthly mission. And sinful man by faith can now enter that what? Rest. Of which the outward sign is keeping what? Sabbath. And this brings me to the issue. The Sabbath Sunday controversy. And I'm looking at it in the light of the great controversy. Whenever we as a people, as Adventists, discuss the Sabbath Sunday controversy, whenever it comes up, we tend to focus our attention on which day is the true biblical day of worship. Am I correct? The day of worship. But folks, God did not give the Sabbath requirement to the Jews as a day of worship. Yes, they... Do you know that when God gave the Sabbath in the Exodus, do you know what the Jews were required to do on that day? They were not supposed to meet for worship. They were supposed to remain in their what? Tents. Yes, it's the best day for what? Worship. But God intends us to worship Him 7 days a week, folks. You know? But the reason why God restored the Sabbath to the Jews was a symbol to point or remind them that their salvation depends entirely on God's act. And with this in mind, I want to now read the text that I gave you before. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. See what Moses does in Deuteronomy before he passes from the scene. He repeats the Ten Commandments. Exactly as God gave it, you know, to him on Mount Sinai. But please notice what he does about the fourth commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 5, the last book of Moses, the fifth book of the Old Testament. Chapter 5, have you got it? We will not read the whole fourth commandment, which is fairly long. It's a repetition of, you know, Exodus 20. What I want to read is verse 15 only. The rest is the same as Exodus 20. But Deuteronomy 5 verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. You were in the house of what? Bondage. Symbol of sin. And the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe what? The Sabbath day. Please notice, it was not just creation that God was giving the reason for the Jews to keep the Sabbath. It was also their deliverance. And the Exodus in 1 Corinthians 10 is a type of salvation. Egypt is the world, Pharaoh is Satan, crossing the Red Sea is baptism, Moses is a type of Christ, and Canaan is the promised what? Land. And that's why the Hebrew discusses about this, you know. Today, now I'm going to be honest, today many Sunday-keeping Christians are resting fully in Christ for their salvation, even though they are Sunday-keepers. So really, in God's eyes, they are really what keepers? Sabbath-keepers. Yes, the day they keep is a contradiction. Now, the main reason, and this is my own personal conviction, that they have not seen the significance of the Sabbath and resting in Christ is because we Adventists have failed to show them the important connection between the Sabbath and Christ, our righteousness, or righteousness by faith, or justification by faith alone. Now, the real issue, as I see it, between the Sabbath and Sunday, that will be experienced after probation closes. I'm not talking of today. Today there is confusion. I'm talking after probation what? Closes. When every human being will have made their choice, either for Christ or against Christ. Every human being will make their choice. I'm talking of human beings who have reached the age of accountability. The ones less than that will come under the umbrella of their parents. Okay? Every human being will make a choice. Either they will choose to stand on the platform of justification by faith alone in the righteousness of Christ, or salvation by their own works. So the real issue between Sabbath and Sunday, after probation closes, and this is to do with the Sunday law and all that, you know, after will be between the gospel of justification by faith alone, which is God's method of salvation, and legalism, which is salvation by works alone, based on Satan's principle of self-dependence. It is Satan who introduced the idea of self-dependence. And all believers who will be resting entirely on Christ for their salvation at that time will signify this by the Sabbath keeping. Today, the issue is foggy. In fact, most Sunday-keeping Christians accuse Adventists of being legalists for Sunday Sabbath keeping. Am I correct? You just have to mix with them. And because we have emphasized the fourth commandment and not presented the Sabbath in the light of what? The gospel. You mix with any Christian, most of them, not all of them, who know about Adventists and their Sabbath keeping, will link us with the old covenant and works of salvation by works. Therefore, they are quite surprised when you tell them that you believe in salvation by grace alone. And they will ask you, what has this, what has your Sabbath keeping to do with this? And what an opportunity you'll have to witness the Sabbath in the light of what? The gospel. Okay, now, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached to all the world for a witness, and every human being has made their choice, that choice will be permanent. No more moving, no more fluctuating. Therefore, those who have entered into God's rest, the Sabbath will become the seal of righteousness by faith. And those who have deliberately and ultimately and decidedly rejected the gospel will come under the banner of Satan and will receive the mark of the beast. And the beast is the one who receives power from the dragon. And the dragon is who? Satan. Now, let's conclude. By denying self, that is not I, this is the negative requirement of the Day of Atonement, and entering into his Sabbath rest, which is but Christ, our high priest can and will fully vindicate the saints in the investigative judgment against the accusations of Satan. That is on the antitypical Day of Atonement, okay? We in turn, and this will be studied in a little later, we in turn will fully vindicate our Redeemer by reflecting his faith, which will stand firm even when tried by fire in the time of trouble. And when Christ comes to take us his own home, it is my prayer that all of us will be in that group.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Okay.